Roni Zone Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roni. Welcome back, and we're going to dive back into our interview with Mr. Peter Franzen, the guy that the first time I heard his projects, I wanted to give up. My audio production, audio drama work, because he's just so incredible. So, but anyway, we can all learn and strive and try to get better. But Peter's a great guy, and we're going to continue our discussion and interview with him, Peter Franzen. And here we go. I hear a bit of C.S. Lewis-ish kind of influence. Is that one of you?
I would say. I read him when I was younger, and I of course took the stories in again when I started getting into audio with the Focus Radio Theater stuff. I would say definitely in terms of like his what he was doing. He was using this this fantasy medium to deal with these philosophical themes. He wasn't like hardcore allegory, and I would say I'm even less close to allegory, but definitely. Symbolic. I'm dealing with a lot of the themes.
Have you read the Screwtape Letters?
I have. It's been a long time, but yes, I have read the Screwtape Letters.
Yeah, I just, you know, I love that he takes like the opposite view of something.
And it
reflects on what we know, and yet it comes from the opposite direction. I think it's just really cool.
Oh yeah, that was a really smart way to approach it.
Now, your story is sci-fi in the future, so you've got humans and demons and different types of, you know, you're going from one plane to another plane, and it is sci-fi, but it's gritty. Was there a moment when you said, I don't know if I want to go gritty? Was there a wrestling with it within you, or no? You said, let's just do it.
Yeah, I would say with every project that I approached, with both the first Spirit Blade and the Spirit Blade Dark Ritual, there were, you know, moments in there where it was the difference between using one sound effect and another, or using 2 seconds of a gore sound effect instead of 1 second. You know, I just thought to myself, okay, is this, am I crossing the line that I want to stay behind at this point, you know? I'm constantly kind of wrestling with that, because I don't want to glorify anything that's evil. I would say I wrestle less with the gore. In Dark Ritual, there's a character that's kind of a seductress type character, and there were several takes that she would use with one line. I was like, ooh, that one's just a little bit too sexy. Let's use the other one. And there was part of me that was like, oh, that really sells the character. But at the same time, I don't want to lead anybody listening into sin in their thought life. And I thought, as far as my judgment's concerned, I think that could potentially lead me into sin listening to that over and over again. So I'm going to use a take that's a little bit more mild. So yeah, absolutely. There's moments like that.
Well, I think that as a whole, I mean, you're firing on all cylinders. How long did it take you to write?
Well, Spirit Blade, like I said, started out as a novella. I was working on that since, I would say, 2001, and then the script maybe took a year or less to adapt it into a script. Mm-hmm. And then it was, Spirit Blade came out in 2006, Dark Ritual came out last November, so about 2 years from one project to the next, from starting from scratch.
When you adapted, was it just you, or did you have any help?
It was just me. Me and my wife. I read a lot of it to my wife, and you know, got her opinion, but she's not terribly opinionated, so
okay.
I was kind of alone for a lot of the first one. And then the second one, though, I did have with people who had already been cast, and then some friends. I had a reading session to get the whole thing started, to kind of just see if any red flags came up with them before we started recording.
My hat goes off to you, because it is a lonely existence, taking on something that is so different because you're basically in two realms. You're in kind of an action-oriented audio drama realm, and then you're in kind of a Christian realm. And I both have their trepidations with you and the mm-hmm. project. And so my hat goes off to you, because it's a tough gig to keep motivated. So congrats that. How did it go when you cast, when you were trying to kind of pitch this thing?
Well, let's see. The first Spirit Blade was originally done as a live show at my church.
Wow.
And so it was directed by the guy that was serving as worship pastor at that time. Actually, Mickey Bryce, who plays Isaiah in the first Spirit Blade, was the worship pastor at that time. And he directed the live show, but got a lot of input from me. And so we kind of cast together just from people that we knew from the church, and we looked at possibilities in the theater community, because our church had done some shows and so, you know, had some connections there. And we ended up casting, I think, every role from people that were just involved in the drama or music ministry at our church. And most of those, the main roles, stayed for the recording project. I did do a little bit of recasting on some of the smaller roles, but most of them carried over into the recording project. And then the second time around, it was still kind of drawing from my pool of friends and, you know, local people. I find it's much easier for me to direct people that can actually come into my office and record with me there. I do a little bit of, you know, long distance casting, but really just for the smaller roles. And then with the project I'm working on now, which is an adaptation of The Pilgrim's Progress, that was the first time I opened it up to the community of the Phoenix area, to anybody that would, I put casting calls on secular acting websites and, you know, stuff like that. And so I've got several people in this current project that I've never met before, and they're wonderful. So it's the casting process has kind of evolved, but everybody's pretty much been on board. I don't think there's ever been a moment. Maybe one or two actors when I, because I interview them all, it's all on the website. It's a bunch of free downloads of behind-the-scenes stuff at spiritblade.net. One or two of the actors, you know, they confess there'd be a moment like, okay, this is kind of out there, this is a little hardcore, but I'm with you, Peter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everybody's pretty much been along for the ride.
Well, you know, you mentioned that you purchased effects and different things, and you know, the production value is just through the roof. I want to really focus on your singing and your musical ability. Now, you score it all yourself, or no?
Oh, gosh, no. I think that was one of my big mistakes of Spirit Blade, is that probably about, I don't know, maybe not as much as 50%, but close to 50% of it was scored by me, basically just using my keyboard. Because it was, you know, I knew I wanted the scoring to be very electronic, kind of in its sound and stuff like that. But and then there was a few pieces that I actually purchased from composers from some royalty-free organizations online that you can basically pay for it once and then use it as many times as you want.
Right.
And those are definitely the stronger bits of scoring from the first one. And then in the second one, it's almost exclusively purchased material. Mm-hmm. I maybe provided a bridge, a segue from one bit of material to the next, but scoring is not my forte.
Well, now you are a worship pastor right now, correct?
No, actually, I was. I worked at our church that we still attend for 4 years, and for 2 years of that, I served as the worship pastor.
Okay,
and then in 2006, I made the decision to step down so that I could give all of my time to Spirit Blade Productions, which is what I'm giving most of my time to now. I do a little bit of work. I do some substitute teaching, you know, during the month, but that's just about 5 days out of the month. The rest mm-hmm. of the time, I'm here in my home office, plugging away.
Okay, so you were a worship pastor, so you definitely can sing, and I mean that's pretty gutsy. I mean, not only just writing, but you know, producing, but also singing. Most people hate to sing outside the shower. What is that like to kind of record, listen to yourself and say, okay, we're going to go forward, because it sounds great.
Well, thanks. Well, singing is actually one of the things that that I find easier. I don't know that it's necessarily the highest point of quality in what I'm doing, but I went to college and majored. I was a voice major, so I went through kind of like the same program that opera singers go through to do their deal. And I had a very supportive voice teacher who knew that I wanted to do basically, you know, contemporary, you know, kind of Christian type music. And there was a time where I thought I was going to do the kind of solo artist, you know, thing. But toward the end of college, you know, God just kind of started correcting my steering a little bit. And so actually the music bit and the singing bit, I've been doing that for much longer than I've been doing audio drama. I've been doing that basically since I was a kid. So I enjoy doing that. But you know, it definitely is kind of a mixed bag in terms of like, you know, people kind of accepting it. Some people really, really dig having the songs in the story, and some people are like, meh, you know, or even like, I could do without the songs, you know. So I don't think that all of our projects in the future are going to have songs in them, but I just decided to throw that in there because I thought, okay, I'm just going to be untamed, way outside the box here, and whoever's with me is with me, whoever's not is not, and we'll just, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But it's been something that I've really enjoyed exploring with the audio dramas.
You know, and I mean this with the greatest accolades, is I've never heard a project that has, you know, singing in it. I've never heard that. I mean, maybe a little bit here and there, but I don't know. I was kind of taken aback. Like, this is really different. I don't know. So, just for what it's worth, I thought it was refreshing. I thought it was very different, because most of the audio dramas that I've heard is just, you know, people talking and laser guns, and that's, I don't know, that's about it. So,
well, thanks. I mean, I kind of wanted to, part of my philosophy was like, okay, if we're just doing audio here, how can we maximize the effectiveness of audio? Why do people use their ears? And, well, music is part of the reason people listen, and, you know, and that's one way that we can tell a story or create emotional impacts. So I thought, what the heck? Let's just give this a shot and see, you know, how much we weird people out.
Well, I it's good to do different things at different times, but I think it was very interesting. So, let's talk a little bit about emails that you've got from people. Is there maybe three or five that you remember? Maybe one of the worst and four the best, or thereabouts?
Let's see. Well, I would say I definitely get more positive reviews or emails and whatnot than negative. And oftentimes I'm getting emails from people that are podcast list, people listen to my podcast and stuff like that. I would say most of the encouraging emails I get are related to the Bible study I do in the podcast. But I've also gotten some really excited, I would call them new fan emails, you know, that people that are just really absorbed in the story and they get what I'm doing. And, oh, those are the kind that you – I actually keep a little folder that's titled, like, encouraging emails or something.
Yeah.
So that after I read the really nasty ones, I can go, okay, time to flip through my encouraging emails, you know.
Sure.
It's really exciting when I get an email from somebody that's really the project is really resonating with them. I've gotten some negative ones too, but mostly they're from folks that I'm like, okay, this is, you know, they're not my audience, because they're like, they don't like the fake swearing that I've invented, the fake swear words I've invented for Spirit Blade, or they don't like the violence, or it's, you know, or there's something in there that in the way that they're talking, their email, I'm like, okay, this person is not quite my audience. Hopefully I can rope them in with Pilgrim's Progress, because that'll be a lot less violent and, you know, edgy, but
sure.
but they're probably not my core audience, and so I can kind of relax a little bit. But you know, it's still tough, and there are some people that have sent emails with criticism, like, oh man, that digs, but you know what, I think they're right, you know, and so I improve as a result, I hope.
What if you went to heaven right now and stood before God, what would he say?
I have no idea. I don't know what he would say.
Okay.
What I would love to hear him say, and I believe this will be among the things that are communicated and that are true. I just it's hard for me to think what would be the first thing that God, because I don't know God that well to know.
Okay, all right.
What's the first thing he's going to say? But I will look forward to the day when I am before him and he gestures with a hand back at my life and the scars there and says, Pater, none of that matters. Give me a hug. Hmm. That is what I'm looking forward to.
Very good. Let's kind of end in this way, and we touched on it before, is there's two concepts, and this is really going to sound like an evangelical. It's probably a sunny evening church service, you know, probably around September or something. Maybe is in Jude 2, it says that and some will reach into the fire to rescue them out. As far as witnessing and reaching people for the lost, and there's also another concept in the Bible. It's a story about a king who was giving a banquet, and he kept inviting people to come, and you know, inviting servants and the family and all these people, and no one would come. And he says, "I want you to go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in." And then Jesus said, "That's the way it's going to be in the last days." And I think that has really hit me the most is we talked about emails from people criticizing you from, the violence and the this and the that. And, you know, certainly people, you know, criticize me and I think criticize all of us about different parts of our life and, well, you're not meeting my standard and all this kind of stuff. And I think that God gives us all gifts. And yes, sometimes he gives a gift of a missionary. And I really applaud those who go to another country, leave the country that they were born in, perhaps, take their family and go minister and preach and pray and love people in another country. But that's not my gift. And I don't believe that's your gift. I think our gift is to use the tools of audio and the knowledge of the kind of people that we are to reach those geeks and those sci-fi fans that are kind of closed off from the church, quote unquote. And I believe that there are more of us, you and me, out there. And I hope that people realize that this is not a weird thing. To sit back and say, I wonder if I can do an audio production, you know, that's in a sci-fi or kind of a different way to maybe tell a Bible story. I hope that they've heard what you've had to say and realize that there's more fish that we can catch this way than other ways. How does that resonate with you and what is your experience with these new kind of fans?
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, I think that we were born in exactly the right time to do what we're trying to do here. I mean, you made the observation of the internet before, and I think that there's no way that we could be getting this message out if we were relying on, you know, big wig record companies to publish our stuff and get it out there, you know. So I think that the internet is fertile ground, and I think that the people we're trying to reach, like you said, that's where they're retreating to because face-to-face interactions are hurting them, and so they're coming to the internet. And I'm talking about both believers and unbelievers. You know, it's the internet is exactly what. I've lost my words. I think it's exactly. We were born exactly the right time. I'll fall back on that. That was good.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, Pater, I appreciate your time, and I just kind of want to end here and just say that you're a great guy. You've got a great heart, and I know that there's been some times where you've been kind of knocked around, but. I really feel like you have held on to what's important, and And that's what's got you through. So I really want you to know that what you're doing is important, and it's right, and it's good. And I don't know that you're going to see the worth and the reach of what you're doing here on this planet, but I think that you will. But keep at it.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Keep at it. Do not stop. It's important. And the people that you'll reach, even, you know, heck, there could be some unsafe people that do some acting for you. What could be the odds, you know? And so I think quality, and I think being honest with your gift, that's going to draw people much more than a leaflet on a car or a knock at a door. So keep at it.
Thanks, Jeff. You do the same.
And I just want to say that if you're listening, go check out Peter's podcast. And he's got a site, and he's got some great projects, Spirit Blade, Dark Ritual. He's working on Pilgrim's Progress right now. And if you're an actor and you're kind of bored and you want to work with a good company, a good production staff, a good group of actors, check this guy out. You've got to get hooked in with this guy.
On that note, mm-hmm. I should throw out there that earlier this spring, we started a volunteer audio production group just made up of folks that, you know, just like whoever might be listening to this podcast, and we all volunteer our time and create Christian sci-fi and fantasy audio and then make it available for free online. It's basically an online volunteer group that's sponsored by Spirit Blade Productions, and you can check that out and be a part of it by going to spiritblade.net/alliance and get the info by going to spiritblade.net/alliance info if you want to know more about it.
Peter, thanks so much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Elite Beat Agents, Swap Tree, Knight Rider, Audiobooks, Six Zombie Kids in the Middle of the Night, Ocarinas, Exoforce, USB Bracelets, Balticon, Stranger Things, Cats on Vacation, Pokemon, Disney World Laser Battle, Album Art, Mopod, Tin Man, and if you think that's geeky, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm Doug Rapson, and if you give me 15 minutes a week, I'll give you a pat on the head, a shot of geek in the arm, and a thought or two from your fellow netizens. Geek Acres, the podcast. It's more fun than a clone vampire superhero dual-wielding lightsaber nunchucks because, you know, lightsabers equals cool. Nunchucks equals cool. Lightsaber nunchucks? Unbelievable. Check it out weekly at geekacres.net or set it and forget it by searching Geek Acres in iTunes.
The future. A world where the quest for truth has ended. Although some of us are trying to keep it alive.
Hey, Rand, do you think Vincent's okay?
He's become more tense and distant every day since Isaiah died.
I'll make sure we get back on track, even if I gotta save everybody from themselves.
We've got our share of enemies.
Hey, you can't come here!
Intruder, take him down!
Rand, what is that thing?
Look out!
Surprise!
We're looking for others to join us.
What's with the blue robes? These guys wizards or something?
Zantafia are powerful weavers of miracles.
I'm not going to see you.
We thought we'd found some allies.
Encircle them, brother.
They cannot return with us to the village.
And we must purify this place of their stain.
We were wrong.
Ready, brothers. Let's begin.
Burn, ungodly filth!
What do you want?
To make you ours or to make you despair?
Spirit Blade Productions presents...
Do you have any idea how much I will make you suffer?
the horrific agony that I will inflict.
Spirit Blade, Dark Ritual.
Hell will be a refuge for you when I'm finished. For more information, visit spiritblade.net.
Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Roni's Own Radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.roniezone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much. Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.